Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, 1 June 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a couple of things. First of all, Monica on Wednesday has a birthday. She's just a spring chicken. It'll be her 90th on Wednesday. Happy birthday to Monica. And an announcement. There will be a meeting after the second class today for everyone who is a part of Vacation Bible School. That'll be in the big classroom after the second class this morning. And also just to remind you that we have these flyers out there that you're welcome to take and give to people in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, that you would like to let them know that we have Vacation Bible School at Upland Bible Church. Take as many as you want. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans 8, verse 14. Let's notice the correct translation. Verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, that's divine guidance. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, divine guidance, these spiritually mature believers are the adult sons of God. Divine guidance. Divine guidance through the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, the mandate given to us, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you do that, then God the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, divine guidance, in every situation and circumstance of your life. You will have absolute confidence that you are smack dab in the middle of the will of God. So one of the results of it growing up and attaining spiritual maturity is divine guidance. The application of that word that God the Holy Spirit and His teaching ministry has taught you and is in your heart, you now can apply it through the filling of the Spirit skillfully and accurately to every situation and circumstance of your life. This results in the believer becoming spiritually self-sustaining. The spiritually mature believer is completely spiritually self-sustaining. The spiritually mature believer makes correct decisions and possesses maximum confidence about the will of God in any situation or circumstances of life. When it comes to knowing and doing the will of God, there is no substitute for being a spiritually mature believer. So in Romans 8:14, the first result of living the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity is divine guidance. Now in Romans 8 verse 15, we have the second result of living the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity, and that is confidence. We've only exegeted the first half of verse 15, but it sounds like this: for you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear. Now, this fear is the mental attitude sin of fear. For you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing the mental attitude sin of fear. The Apostle Paul made clear back in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 14, that the church age believer has entered into newness of life. Newness of life. By virtue of his union with Jesus Christ, identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, this newness of life in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ, is not designed by God to be a life of slavery to the mental attitude sin of fear. In fact, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes to pastor teacher Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment." As you live the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God, you will not be frightened by anything in life or in the world. Assurance and confidence are the characteristics of the believer who is living the spiritual life. The believer living the spiritual life has maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. In Romans 6, verse 15, the life of slavery is marriage to the sin nature. But we've been divorced from the sin nature at that moment of salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of the Spirit, we're now entered into union with Jesus Christ, and therefore we have newness of life. We have been set free so that we can live in this newness of life. Now we have the freedom to live in newness of life and the freedom to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. And this is only accomplished by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And therefore, the mental attitude sin of fear is incompatible with God's purpose for your life. The mental attitude sin of fear is not a part of the spiritual life for the royal family of God. Fear and instability in the believer indicates no filling of the Spirit, no spiritual life. It means you're out of fellowship with God. So we have so far, for you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear, the mental attitude sin of fear. And that brought us to a study of what does the Bible say about fear. Now, we have studied the first three points on this. Point one was, well, fear in the Bible is used two ways. It's used in a great way, and it's used in a bad way. In the great way, fear is a Christian virtue. And we studied that in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 17. Fear is a category one, fearing the Lord, is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. Humility. That's the foundational virtue. Humility. Respect for God. Respect for the Word of God. Respect for the communicator of the Word of God. So, category one, fearing the Lord. That's a great fear. That is humility. That's the beginning of wisdom. And then there's category two, fear of the Lord. And that's occupation with Jesus Christ. And that's the completion of wisdom. Well, that's fear as a Christian virtue, and that's great and awesome and wonderful. But there's also negative fear, bad term for fear, and that is the mental attitude sin of fear, being afraid. And that is prohibited in the plan of God. And we noted that in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20, Isaiah 41, verse 10, where we hear again and again, fear not, for I, the living and true God, I am with you. So if you are afraid, have a mental attitude sin of being afraid of anything, you're out of fellowship with God. God didn't design a plan for you to have fear in your life. And then we noted point two, the mental attitude sin of fear and the function of your spiritual life are mutually exclusive. When you're living in the mental attitude sin of fear, your being afraid means you have no spiritual life. Fear eliminates a personal sense of destiny. Point three, fear sees a problem and falls apart, while faith sees the solution and keeps on marching to glory. That brings us to point four. That's where we start this morning. Point four, the distraction of the mental attitude sin of fear. When you have the mental attitude sin of fear, when you are afraid of anything in this life, that distracts you away from God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. So subpoint one, the more things you surrender to fear, the more things you fear. The more things you surrender to fear, the more things you fear. Now, today, you may be worried about only one thing. Tomorrow, you might be worried about two things. Soon, you become so emotionally involved in fear that you have no identity. Irrationality means loss of identity, which means accumulation of fear until you're afraid of life. Fear is something that, if it's not controlled or eliminated, continues to develop in your life until you have no capacity for life, no capacity for love, no capacity for happiness. One of the motivations for becoming addicted to drugs. Drug addiction is a major problem in the United States of America. One of the motivations for becoming addicted to drugs or becoming an alcoholic is fear. The mental attitude sin of fear, anxiety, worry, tension. Point two. The extent to which you surrender to fear, the greater is your capacity for fear. And that's the capacity you don't want. You want capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness. That's God's plan for your life. You don't want capacity for fear. The extent to which you surrender to fear, the greater is your capacity for fear. To the extent to which you surrender to fear, to that extent, fear controls more and more of your life. Increasing fear means increasing insecurity, which destroys your capacity for love and life and happiness and blessing. No set of circumstances in life will ever make you happy. There is no way you can have true happiness when you have the mental attitude sin of fear in your soul. There is no way you can have true happiness apart from a healthy mental attitude. And that includes no mental attitude sins of fear about anything in your life. Three, the greater your capacity for the mental attitude sin of fear, the more you increase the power of fear in your life. The greater your capacity for fear, the more you increase the power of fear in your life. Four, the more things you increase the power of fear in your life, the greater your failure to live the spiritual life God has for you in the church age. The more you increase the power of the mental attitude sin of fear in your life, the greater your failure to live this fantastic spiritual life that God has for you in the church age. You miss out on the newness of life. Fear causes you to become totally preoccupied with yourself. You're totally preoccupied with yourself. And now you're living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. And once in interlocking systems of arrogance, all the rest of the mental attitude sins come very quickly. And the combination of the mental attitude sin of fear with arrogance causes many people to become mentally ill. Subpoint five. The more things that acquire the power to promote fear in your life, the more suffering and self-induced misery you bring on yourself. The more things that acquire the power to promote fear in your life, the more suffering and self-induced misery you bring on yourself. Six, therefore, you cannot be distinguished from the unbeliever who doesn't even know Jesus Christ as a Savior. Now you're living your life just like the unbeliever, as if you don't even have a personal relationship with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Can't tell you from the unbeliever. Point five, Fear is a lack of thinking. Thinking under pressure. A lack of thinking. Now, thinking what? Thinking divine viewpoint. The Word of God is called the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. It's the thinking of Christ. And the objective is to get the thinking of Jesus Christ in here so it's your thinking. And thinking now divine viewpoint. So fear, the mental attitude sin of fear, is lack of thinking divine viewpoint under pressure. Of course, if you don't think divine viewpoint under normal circumstances and in times of prosperity, then you will be filled with fear during abnormal circumstances. And then you totally fail to think divine viewpoint. So fear, mental attitude sin of fear, is lack of thinking. Thinking the Word of God. Thinking divine viewpoint. Thinking the mind of Christ under pressure. Point six. Fear is the mental attitude of worry. Worry is a sin. Anxiety, apprehension, despondency. All of these are characteristics of the mental attitude sin of fear. A mental attitude of worry, anxiety, apprehension, despondency. Seven. Fear cannot coexist with the spiritual life. The mental attitude sin of fear cannot coexist with the spiritual life. The spiritual life demands the filling of the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. We've been given that mandate. That's not an option. That's the only way you can live the spiritual life. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So we have the command. Keep on being empowered, filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's a mandate. The spiritual life God has for us demands the filling of the Spirit, and it demands the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And that's 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you have maximum amount of the Word of God that you have learned and believed, and it's in your heart, then you can say, as David did, David, and we were with a fella this week. He's a Jewish fellow, and we were talking to him, and he says, "My middle name is David. I was named after King David." That's great. He's a Jewish. I don't know if he's a Jewish believer, but we have a born-again Jew. Hello, Mr. Greg Morton. Welcome down here. Jews that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. But he was very proud of the fact of his heritage in King David. When you have maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, then you can say, as David did, when he faced Goliath. He was just a teenager when he faced Goliath. He wasn't a soldier. He was a shepherd. He was taking care of sheep. And he went out with a sling and a couple of stones. The Israel military, they were all cowards. They didn't want to go out and face Goliath. Nobody went out and faced Goliath. So here's this shepherd, picks up some rocks and goes out there. And David faced Goliath, and he told Goliath, "The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And that's when you are thinking Bible doctrine, the Word of God, you have a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, you won't be afraid of anything because the battle is the Lord's. And that overcomes the problem of fear so that you can go into action. And that's exactly what David did. So, one, fear and the function of your spiritual life are mutually exclusive. Fear and the function of your spiritual life are mutually exclusive. Two, people who live by fear are intimidated by life. People who live by fear are intimidated by life. For the believer who lives in a state of fear, the fear increases like a disease, like a cancer. As the cancer of fear increases, that individual becomes intimidated by life. Three, fear of death will never prevent you from dying, but it will prevent you from living. That's point three. Fear of death will never prevent you from dying, but it will prevent you from living. Four, fear is being overcome by the problem and becoming enmeshed in the disaster. Fear is being overcome by the problem and becoming enmeshed in the disaster. Five. A personal sense of destiny is the result of the believer having the solution for fear from the mind of Christ, the Word of God in his heart. The Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. Turn over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. In Psalm 56, the human author of Psalm 56 is David. Most of the Psalms, the human author of most of the Psalms is David. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, the living and true God. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? And then, as Apostle Paul wrote to Pastor Teacher Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound judgment. When the faith rest life is applied as the solution, the believer becomes a winner believer, and therefore fulfills Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now there are many examples in the Word of God. I could spend the next the rest of the year teaching all the examples of people who have applied this and passed the test. Let's go first of all to Romans chapter 4. We're going to start out with a couple that are past 100, and God promised you're going to have a son. Oh, boy. Yeah, sure. Romans chapter 4, the example of Abraham. Abraham as a winner believer. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And without becoming weak in faith, he, that's Abraham, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. Well, we know when you're 100, your body's as good as dead. There you go. Since he was about 100 years old. And he also contemplated the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, verse 20, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, total confidence in God, total confidence in the promise that God gave him, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he, God, had promised him a son, he was able also to perform. Now, that's the first example. Abraham. Example number two, Moses. Moses, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, and this is faith in God, faith in the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God, the Jewish people, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. This is greater grace, blessings in all eternity. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing, no fear, no mental attitude, sin, or fear. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, Pharaoh. For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. What's that? He sees the living and true God. He has occupation with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So that's the example of Moses. Now, the example of David. Turn over to 1 Samuel. The example of David. 1 Samuel 17. The example of David, 1 Samuel 17. Start at verse 45. Now remember, David is not in the military. He's a shepherd. He's a teenager, shepherd, but he knows the living and true God. He knows the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is a mature believer. He knows God. He knows who and what God is. He knows the essence of God. And here he is, just a teenager, and he is going to take on Goliath. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear, like you have, Goliath, that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." So, principle for the believer: fear is failure to learn and apply the Word of God to the problems of life, and failure to learn and apply God's problem-solving devices to your life. God has all these magnificent problem-solving devices for your life. Precisely correct procedure to clear the spiritual hurdles that you have in your life and glorify God in the process. So for the believer, fear is failure to learn and apply the Word of God to the problems of life. And failure to learn and apply God's problem-solving devices to your life. What are those problem-solving devices? Rebound, probably one of the most important you have. Rebound. When you sin and get out of fellowship with God, how do you get back into fellowship with God? Not by your works. The only way you can get back into fellowship with God is because of the work of Christ on the cross. He paid the penalty for all sins, all the sins you committed before salvation and all the sins you commit after salvation. So rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life, and now you can get up and get going. Rebound. 1 John 1:9. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Galatians 5:16. The faith rest life. Grace orientation. Doctrinal orientation, personal love for God the Father, which is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God, which is a self-contained happiness that you carry with you everywhere you go. And when you have self-contained happiness, when you share the happiness of God, there is no fear. You are occupied with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because you know Him and you love Him, there is no, absolutely no mental attitude sin of fear. Point eight, the solution to fear. The solution to fear. One, the plan of God is designed to remove all the cobwebs of fear in your soul and replace them with confidence in God and confidence in the Word of God. The plan of God is designed to remove all the cobwebs of fear in your soul and replace them with confidence in God and confidence in the Word of God. And this inevitably results in the greatest courage in life. The greatest courage in life. And it's more than moral courage. It is a mental attitude courage in all relationships, in all circumstances of life. 2, Paul stated this to Timothy, who was intimidated by his congregation, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given to us a lifestyle of fear, but of power and of virtue, love, and of sound judgment. First of all, that power is the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, to live the spiritual life. The true courage is virtue, love. Personal love for God the Father that motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Christ. True courage means sound judgment. You think divine viewpoint in times of pressure. The person with real courage is the person with maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. 3, the plan of God for you is a life of courage. A life of courage. The plan of God for you is a life of courage. 4, virtue love brought to completion in your heart drives out all fear. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart drives out all fear. 1 John 4:18 says, fear does not exist in virtue love. But virtue love drives out fear. For fear causes punishment. In fact, the person who is afraid has not been matured by virtue love. If you have personal love for God the Father, and you understand His essence, His attributes, you don't need to claim specific promises for every situation. You rest on the entire essence of God. You know God from the Word of God. And because you know God, you love God. And therefore, once you have virtue love, you're not afraid of anything. You know who and what God is. And therefore, you are totally dependent on Him. 5. The spiritually mature believer is not afraid of anything. The spiritually mature believer is not afraid of anything. And that's Romans 8, verse 15, the first half. For you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear, a mental attitude center of fear. Okay. Well, we'll take our break now. And when we come back, we will have the Lord's table.